Hechel Menachem presents A Tale of Two Souls, an ongoing lecture series on the Tanya by Rabbi Yosef Yitzchok Jacobson. This is tape number 47 in the series, entitled Emotional Love and Practical Love, recorded live at Hechel Menachem, Brooklyn, New York.
We are at page 44. Davchav Beis Amid Beis, close to the conclusion of chapter 16. The line, in the thin lines, the smaller lines, beginning with the words Liboy Kanal Ach Tziruv Zeh. In this perek, in the 16th chapter of the Tanya, the Alter Rebbe discussed the state of the individual who cannot reach a state of passionate ecstasy towards godliness. Rather, his service of Hashem is the consequence of a moral realization, of a sense that he or she possesses a moral obligation to live this type of life. When your heart is on fire towards Hashem, you naturally gravitate to put on tefillin, for example, because this is the means, the only means, actually, through which you may cleave to the divine reality. So the act of putting on tefillin is a natural, almost instinctive consequence of this ecstatic passion that this Jew is experiencing. But here we are discussing that individual who is short of that. Rather, his service is an outgrowth of a moral realization, of an intellectual conviction that this is the just and right way to behave. So he's putting on tefillin because he is aware and he knows well that this is the proper thing to be doing. Says the Alter Rebbe that despite the fact that it is only a conscious, heartfelt passion which can serve as wings, so to speak, to elevate, to spiritualize, to exalt one's Torah and mitzvahs, it is only that type of spiritual, palpable passion that imbues one's heart, which can infuse one's Torah and mitzvahs and elevate it, allow it to soar to the spiritual realms. For it is only this type of feeling which infuses the physical act with spiritual energy versus an intellectual conviction or realization which remains detached and aloof from one's behavior. Nevertheless, in our case, Hashem effects a unison between the mind awareness and the concrete act, so that the awareness infuses the acts of the Jew with vitality and consciousness, and hence the mitzvahs and the Torah may soar on high as a result of that bond. And this is the deeper meaning, he explained. In the statement of our sages in Kiddushin and Gemara Kiddushin, Machshava Teiva HaKadosh Baruch Hu Metzarfa L'maisa, a good thought Hashem binds, Hashem joins with deed, that in the case of the individual where there is a Machshava Teiva, there is an intellectual, moral sense of obligation, there is a cognitive, individual, personal realization. And then there is also a maisa, there is a deed, but the two remain separate, the two remain distinct. The former is in the higher spiritual worlds, the latter is in the lower realms. In that case, Hashem binds the machshava toiva to the maisa, the spiritual intellectual conviction to the physical concrete deed, thus elevating and spiritualizing the Torah and mitzvahs of this individual's life. Now let's continue and complete the chapter.
Somebody told me recently that this Hasidic Jew was in the street, and had he not honked the horn, he might have run him over because he didn't seem that he was aware. So I said, he was a tzaddik. He might have been in another world at that moment.
Okay.
He was with God. And I told him,
But God is on the road also.
Yeah, I know, but maybe that's the reason why this person honked the horn. They had him honk the horn. Otherwise, he might have been run over. I don't know. I'm looking for a tzaddik like Rabbi Jacob, but he's looking for one himself a few weeks ago.
Rebbe.
Well,
that's the last question. But Hashem affects this joining of the intellectual tevuna realization, as he called it earlier, to the action, the machshava teva, to the maisa, in order to elevate the performance of the mitzvahs and the Torah study, which are carried out through the influence of the good thought mentioned above, to elevate it into the world of Briya. Makayim aliyas ha-Torah v'ha-mitzvahs, that world of Briya being the level to which ascend the performance of Torah and mitzvahs, hanasim ayidei dechilu rechimu sichlim, when they are performed as a result of a motivation by an awe and a love deriving from one's meditation, asher behizgalus liboy mamish, and which are truly revealed in one's heart. Aval belav hachinami, however, even without this joining of Hashem, Oilim la'olam hayitzira, they, the Torah and the mitzvahs of the Jew, rise to the world of Yitzira, ayedei dechilu rechimu tivim, by means of the natural inherent awe and love, hamesutarim b'lev kol Yisrael b'tel daisam, which are latent in the heart of all Jews from birth, k'mei shekasov l'kaman b'arichas, as will be later explained at length in chapters 38, 39, 40, and 44. According to the teachings of the Kabbalah, the whole of existence operates within a structure of four worlds. They are termed the worlds of Atzilus, Briya, Yitzira, Asiya. Or from bottom to top, Asiya, Yitzira, Briya, and Atzilus. Asiya is the world of concreteness. Briya, Yitzira, is the world of passion. Briya is the world of mind ecstasy, transcendental awareness. And Atzilus is the world of oneness. Now these four worlds, or four dimensions, exist also within every human being, meaning that man operates on these four levels of consciousness, or on these four states of energy. The world in which we function, we live on a most basic and immediate level, is obviously the concrete word, the concrete dimension of Asiya. That is the level of consciousness in which we operate on a most immediate and basic level, the consciousness of Asiya, or the functional dimension of life. The same is true when a Jew is engaging in positive and good holy deeds, mitzvahs, or studying Torah. When a Jew studies Torah or does a mitzvah, he is creating an impact in a physical substance or substances which exist in physical space and territory within this physical world. And this impact is coming as a result of his functional energy, his corporal power, the level of Asiya, the level of concreteness within him. So that is what has been impacted. That is what has been happening when the Jew studies Torah, does mitzvahs. His functional asiyah energy was dealing with corporal, in most cases, with most mitzvahs, corporal substances existing in the physical world being impacted or affected in some corporal way as a result of his act or deed. When the act of the mitzvah is motivated by passion and inspiration, it's not just a robotic act. It's not even just an act which is being performed intentionally, but only as a result that the person has to do it for whatever reason. But rather there is passion and inspiration motivating it. That ecstatic passion becomes imbued within the mitzvah, elevating it to the which world? The world of passion, the world of Yetzirah. When the passion infusing the mitzvah is not just a result of spontaneity, or it's not just a result, a consequence of the human being having accessed the inherent passion embedded within the Jewish soul, but rather it is an emotion which is an outgrowth, which is a projection, which has been preceded by an intellectual meditation. It's a feeling, an emotion which has grown from a cognition. Then the spiritual consciousness invigorating and electrifying the Torah mitzvahs is a synthesis of mind and passion. Then it is the whole of man's personality which is infusing the mitzvah with spiritual vitality and consciousness, not just a dimension of his soul, not just a particular capacity of the soul, but rather the whole spiritual persona, which basically includes the cognitive elements and the emotional elements. All of that has come together to imbue this mitzvah with meaning. So the mitzvah is elevated to the level of bria, to the level of transcendental awareness, to the world of mind ecstasy, where there is the ecstasy of the mind. Says the Alter Rebbe that the tziruf that Hashem creates, the bond, the fusion that Hashem effects in order to synthesize man's intellectual awareness with his deeds, creates a dynamic where his Torah mitzvahs are elevated to the world of bria. Why? Because ultimately the mind experience and the physical experience have become fused together. So thus the deed is elevated to the realm of the mind, the spiritual mind, which is the world of bria. But, Alter Rebbe added, even if Hashem wouldn't make a tziruv, the Torah mitzvahs would still ascend to the world of Yetzirah. Because as will be explained later in detail, every Jew possesses an inherent love and awe towards Hashem. This does not have to be initiated or created. It exists within him by the virtue of his being Jewish. It's part of the heart condition of a Jew. It may be hidden, latent, and concealed, but it exists by the very fact that, as a result of the very fact that he's Jewish. So when the Beinoni does not experience a passionate love, just an intellectual conviction, even which is motivating him to live a certain way, even if there would not be that special tziruf, nevertheless the Torah mitzvahs would still ascend to Yetzirah. The tziruf affects an ascent to Bria, but even without the tziruf, it would still ascend to Yetzirah as a consequence of the natural inherent passion within the Jew, which ultimately infuses the mitzvah with power, with spiritual vitality, and therefore it can ascend to the world of passion, to the world of Yetzirah. What the tziruf accomplishes is the synthesis between the mind and the activity, where it's elevated to the world of Bria. Perikid Zion. Ubaze Yuvon. Give me a Chumash Tvarim. Ubaze Yuvon, with this explanation in Perik Tazayin, we will understand Masha Kasuv. What the Pasuk says in Parashas Nitzavim, Perik Lamet, Pasuk Yudalid, Kikar Eve Lecha Davar Miyoid, Beficha Ovelavavcha La Seisa. This thing, this matter, is very near to you, is very close to you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may perform it. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people shortly before his passing, at the conclusion of the Torah in Parshas Nitzavim, he talks about the relationship to Yiddishkeit, to Torah and mitzvahs, and he says, "Ki a mitzvah hazay is this mitzvah which I am commanding you today." Is not aloof from you, is not distant from you. It's not in heaven. That's one can say, who's going to go up to heaven for us, to take it back to us, to teach it to us so that we may do it? It's not across the sea so that one can lament and say, who will cross the sea for us and take it, bring it back, and teach it to us so that we may do it. Rather, this thing of Torah and Mitzvahs is very close to you in your mouth and in your heart that you may perform it. Indeed, the Alter Rebbe wrote on the title page of the Tanya, which we learned then in the beginning of the series of classes, that the Tanya is based on this pasuk. The whole Sefer is actually founded on this verse in Parashas Nitzavim, Levayir Heitiv Eichu Karav Miyoy, to explain clearly how one can say, how Moshe Rabbeinu can make this declaration, that Torah and Mitzvahs is indeed Karav Miyoy, is not just close, but very close, exceedingly near to you. And the main difficulty in this declaration, I don't think we have to elaborate on the problem, why you need a sefer to explain this, that's obvious. The problem is an obvious one. The answer is what requires a book. The question, I'll never write in the title page the question, he doesn't even explain what the question is. Both on a functional level, the problem exists. As we discussed then at length, I don't know if you recall, but you'll relate to it immediately. You don't have to remember these things. Both on a functional level, it seems not karav miyoid to live a life which is in full accordance with the blueprint of Torah and Mitzvahs. A life which is a total manifestation and projection, expression of the divine blueprint of Torah seems very, very difficult. Many people view it as a goal which is not feasible for the realistic human being living in our earthly world. And more importantly, from a psychological and emotional point of view, the pasuk is not just saying that the performance of mitzvahs is something karav elecha davar miyoyt, that you can do it. You can force yourself and do it. You can perform mitzvahs robotically. You're indoctrinated when you're young that this is the way to live. And therefore, you daven 3 times a day. You won't go into McDonald's, big deal. Especially today, there are plenty kosher restaurants. But even if not, nope, it's not the end of the world. You put on tefillin every day, you keep Shabbos and so forth. So it's possible to create a system of indoctrination where people live a certain way without thinking too much about what they're doing or asking questions. Robotically, they function that way. Furthermore, it's even possible for creating a system where one accepts upon himself a yoke, consciously, it's not robotically, Kabbalah's Oil Malchus Shemayim, one accepts upon himself the divine yoke, and as a result of that, engages in a certain type of lifestyle. But the Pasuk emphasizes, more than that, the Pasuk emphasizes it's close to you in your mouth that you may perform it, but also b'levavcha in your heart. And heart indicates passion, feeling. So what Moshe Rabbeinu was saying is indeed that Torah and mitzvahs is exceedingly near to you in your heart, which means that a person can ultimately develop on a feeling and a passion towards it. And to develop a feeling and a passion towards it, it means that you can see how it's part of you. It excites you as an individual. It's not just a remote and alien doctrine which is superimposed upon you. But levavcha means, I love it. I celebrate it. Why do I love it? I feel that this is beautiful and wonderful for me, for who I am as an individual. So the Alter Rebbe says, the lecha'ira, at first glance, hu belevavcha neged achush shelanu. The statement that this thing is very near to you in your heart seems contrary to our experience. It's neged achush shelanu. In our experience, ask a human being honestly, do you feel that the experience of belvavcha, of creating, of experiencing a real passion towards Yiddishkeit, towards Hashem, towards Torah and Mitzvahs, does he feel that that is his natural experience? Apparently it would seem that it's neged hachushalom. It's not karev miyait. It's not close to us. But Torah hinitzchis. Yeah, the Torah is eternal. In other words, we cannot say, what is Dr. Rebbe trying to say, the Torah is eternal? We cannot say that Moshe Rabbeinu was saying this to his generation. Because the Torah is eternal. So he's saying it to all generations. Karev elecha davar miyait. Now just to explain, of course, I mean, the Torah is eternal. You could say the same thing when he says to keep Shabbos, say. Maybe he said it's for his generation. Obviously, all the mitzvahs and halachas and Torah are eternal. But this is not a mitzvah. This is a sipur. This is a statement. Moshe is not communicating an obligation. He's saying that the mitzvah that I have commanded you is karav elecha davar miyayit. So perhaps one can assume that since this is not a halach, it's not a mitzvah, rather he's telling them about a fact. He's relating to them an episode, so to speak. He's relating to them a matter of fact. What is the situation? What is the condition? Maybe that is not relevant to later generations. Everything in the Torah is eternal. Even the stories are eternal. She'ein karev ma'id hadavar la'apich libe mitayves elam hazel avas Hashem ba'emes. In our experience, in our chush, we see that it is not a very near thing to change one's heart from worldly desires to a sincere love of Hashem. Naturally, a person is inclined towards the former. If you, Moshe Rabbeinu would come and say, I'm game. I understand that. That's called karav miyayit. You don't have to contemplate. You don't have to meditate. You don't have to be educated. A human being naturally experiences taivas elam haz, experiences cravings and impulses to worldly pleasures. Sometimes these impulses are very animalistic, very profane, sometimes unethical. Sometimes they are instincts that gravitate towards total selfish, self-indulgence type of behavior. Whatever it may be, those taivas elam haz, they're drastically different by every individual. One of my teachers of Hasidus and of Jewish mysticism in general, he is a very abstract individual. So when he would talk about Taivus Elam Haza, about certain people experiencing cravings to the physical world, he would meditate for a few moments and try to find an example for it. And the example he would usually say, he would like stop. He would say, you know, let's say a guy who loves chocolate. That was as far as you get. Taivas Elam Haza loves chocolate. He's engulfed by the sight of chocolate. Okay? Chocolate has the power to nullify all his prior commitments towards living a life of health and a diet and so forth. So that's one type of Taivas Elam Haza. But they vary. They vary drastically. Every individual according to his anatomy, according to his or her structure and lifestyle and convictions and education and so forth. But Taivas Elam Haza is a natural thing. It's Karev Miyait. You don't. No one would think that when you sit down to eat a delicious dinner after you're hungry and it tastes very good, it's being superimposed upon you. It's something, you know, I'm not really doing something which is an expression of my identity. This is part of my identity. Torah mitzvahs, we do not experience in that way. The average individual does not experience in that way. We often experience it as a set of premises and values that are superimposed upon us. Sometimes a person can even experience it as dogmatic, as repressive, as something that is not an outgrowth of his natural inherent dispositions and passions. Can we say that Karev Elecha Davar Miyait? To be specific, there are times when a human being can experience a love to Torah mitzvahs. Most Jews have that. Auspicious times as a result of something you hear, something you read, a song, a time of the year, Yom Kippur, whatever it may be. Is ready. Especially in younger years, yeshiva bachrim a lot. In certain times of yeshiva, they become really excited about their Yiddishkeit. They wake up one morning. From today on, they are going to be wholesome human beings. They're not even going to experience a negative impulse, never mind implementing a negative impulse. And they're so excited, they're filled with that passion and ecstasy and so forth. Sometimes that can be illusionary, but even let's assume it's real in some way. And then several hours pass, and boom, it's naught, doesn't exist. You're back to your natural self. And what happened to the Karev Elecha Davar Miyait? Celestial illusion, you might call it. A heavenly fantasy or heavenly dream. So Moshe Rabbeinu comes along and makes a statement and says that after everything said and done, notwithstanding these fluctuations and transitions and shifts, Karev Elecha Davar Miyait.